Hi everyone, just jumping in at the beginning of the episode to announce that we are undertaking a new project over at Pontifax Conclave, and we are requesting your help with this. This project, which we're going to call The Great Remiracling, is our effort to go through all of our currently released episodes and remove the miracles sound effect that was voiced by Fry's ex-husband and replace them with new ones for very obvious reasons. But you see, we've put out a lot of episodes. And while I can start to narrow down which episodes we'll hear a miracle in, we don't have any timestamps for where these appear in said episodes at the moment. So we are asking if you are interested and able, or happen to be doing a re-listen, to help us catch those timestamps locations of the miracles and send them our way. In the description of this episode, you'll find a link to a Google form where you can submit any episode timestamps you find, or you can go directly to tinyurl.com/pontifaxmiracles. Additionally, to make the re-miracling extra fun, we've put out a call to all of our podcasting friends who will be recording new sound bites for us. I'd love to have a good variety to replace the old ones with, so I'm going to extend the call to you, our listeners. Ideally, what we're looking for is male voices, and if you're willing to help us out, please record yourself saying, "Miracles," in your best NPR or holy voice, or you could give us a different take that's all your own, and email it to pontifaxpod@gmail.com with the subject line, "Miracles." I want to thank you in advance for any or all help that you're able to provide in this. I know some people have already started, and it's been incredibly helpful. This is a very important and meaningful project, and we're very, very excited to have Pontifax be miraculous again. Thanks again. Hello, and welcome to our Easter special. And this special is very special indeed, because this is our lost Easter special. What you're about to hear was originally recorded in early 2022, but fell casualty to our unexpected 9-month hiatus that made everything go out the window. But now it's Easter again, and we're able to finally deliver. It's been long enough since we recorded that the whole group doesn't remember the full scope of the adventure, which has made getting these episodes ready an extra amusing process for me. I had forgotten almost all of it, including how terribly I did. But most importantly, I want to extend a massive, massive huge thanks to Greg, our editor, who has been working on wrangling these files into submission for so long, on top of editing for our regular episodes. It is absolutely, entirely in his credit that we are finally able to share this adventure with you, and I genuinely could not be more appreciative. So let's get into it and introduce what you're actually about to hear. Easter, on Sunday, is the holiest time of the Catholic year. And to celebrate, we invited a group of our favorite podcasters to participate in an actual play, Easter-themed D&D adventure. The campaign we ran, titled The Passion of the Heist, was created by Raptor Heist on Reddit and is described as the only one-shot adventure with the courage to ask, what if the resurrection of Jesus was actually an Ocean's 11-style heist movie? Well, you're about to find out. Happy Easter, and I hope you enjoy The Passion of the Heist.
Along the coast of the White Sea, where the mighty Remoran Empire stretches into the eastern marches, a Messiah speaks the word of the Lord, providing hope and solace to the conquered peoples of the land. During his constant travels, he has picked up a number of disciples who join him in his miraculous deeds. You are just some of these disciples. Well, most of the time with Joshua, who I will henceforth be calling Oily Josh, has been spent caring for the poor and protecting the weak. Sometimes a few colored eggs must be broken if one is to make an omelet. Your story begins in the capital of Judrael, Shalem, a relic of an older time, with ancient temples and statues throughout, but also a symbol of Remoran power, with soldiers stationed on the streets and newly constructed behemoths sticking out like sore thumbs made of white marble pillars. The blue banner of the Empire hangs from every civil building, reminding the conquered people who their masters are. We find ourselves in a small tavern, the Grey Goose, where a celebration is taking place. There are 8 people sitting on one side of the table. Their leader, Josh, is in the center. Several more guests, followers of this man, are just joining us now. Time to introduce yourselves.
All right, so for introductions, let's get, like, who you really are, the name of your podcast, and then jump into your character. So, Robert Taco, you want to go first?
Sure. So my name is Roberto from the history of Sacramento, Georgia, or as they call me here, Robert Taco. And my character's name is Dominique Chrysostom. Dominique is a hard to define changeling celestial warlock. In their true form, they're about 6 feet tall, with shoulder length white hair, gray skin, and pale white eyes. However, they do enjoy changing into their friends and messing around with different features. They predominantly appear in the form of a large man with light-colored hair, a long nose, a thick neck, and a quite prominent belly. Coming from a wealthy Remoran family, they joined a temple. They were part of a dualistic movement found within Judrail, known for their underground celebrations and hiding away from the temple acolytes and putting up posters. Dominique is also known for their moving speeches, and a few months ago, Dominique heard a moving sermon about Monad, from the mouth of his prophet, Joshua. As a new acolyte, he is trying to use his speechcraft and healing abilities to shepherd those to the light of Oily Josh.
Beautiful. Ben?
Oh, there. I wrote some vague notes that weren't a description, but okay. So my name is Ben. I do the Battle Royale French Monarchs podcast, where we guillotine French monarchs. And I am playing Publius Hortensius Bonana. I am from the senatorial elite, but I got stranded here in this Remoran outpost because my father was the proconsul of this region when he fell from grace because he got involved in a tawdry sex scandal. And now I have risen through the ranks as a centurion. But I have realized something was missing in my life. So I have come to seek out the advice of Oily Josh.
Excellent, Brian Blessing.
Senator Banana.
Senator Banana.
I'm not a senator. I am a centurion. Senator Banana is my father.
David?
Yes, my name's David Montgomery. I'm the host of the Siecle podcast, which covers French history in between Napoleon and the First World War. And I am playing a Sciatos Dilites. Sciatos was, several years ago, a peasant halfling farmer in the region, was scraping a living off his half acre of land when Joshua walked by on the road and addressed him. "Farmer, will you spend the rest of your life staring at the dirt, or will you follow me and lift your gaze to greater things?" Sciatos threw down his tools at once and followed the son of Monad. As one of Joshua's longest tenured disciples, Sciatos has accumulated some fame, or perhaps infamy, in Judrail for his extreme interpretations of Joshua's teachings. He's taken to heart Joshua's perhaps metaphorical admonitions about the sinfulness of earth and the purity of heaven. The people call him Sciatos Dilites, which means Sciatos Pole Sitter, for his habit of meditating on top of a pillar to avoid making contact with the sinful ground. And as we'll see shortly, when he has to move around to follow Joshua, he takes also somewhat extreme measures to avoid making contact with the devil's earth.
Amazing. Ari?
Hello, I am Ari. I am part of the Questrans podcast, and I am playing Spirit, which is a white, small dove bird, which in D&D it's a kenku, but I'm reflavoring it as a dove, that she grew up in the midst of town, kind of doing several types of cons and other such things. And she recently joined Josh's disciples, mostly because she figured that there would be a lot of bigger crowd for her to potentially do the occasional, you know, pickpocketing kind of thing, and all of those other less reputable things when people are not looking. That's,
yeah. Oh my god. We're going to be such friends, and you're going to lead me to temptation, aren't you? So if you're listening to this podcast, you know who I am. I am Bree from the Pontifex podcast, ranking all of the popes from Peter to Francis, and I am playing Calixta. And Calixta is a youngish deep gnome rogue. She's about 3 feet tall, 35 pounds, so quite small even by gnome standards. She has very pale white skin, like marble, and pale chin-length white hair to match, which makes her potentially stand out in Judrael, but blend in perfectly with their temples. You see, Calixta is a talented thief and has had quite the illustrious criminal career due to her strategy of posing as a statue within the temples of the idolaters and plundering their wealth once they close up for the night. But about a year ago, she was made to reconsider her ways when she overheard a sermon on the monad, the one true god, and his prophet, Oily Josh. As a disciple, Calixta is trying earnestly to reform her sinful thieving ways, despite feeling oh so tempted all of the time.
Amazing.
Love it.
All right.
It's all of us.
Yeah, it is.
Actually, forgot to add a potential important thing of Spirit's biography is that one time she came in contact with a burning bush, but because she didn't hear the entire thing that this weird speaking burning bush was saying, she gained magic, but it is a little bit chaotic because she didn't stick around long enough to understand how to use it. So she is a wild magic sorcerer because of that.
Oh, yes.
Oh my gosh, love it.
So did she just walk away in the middle of the burning bush's speech?
Yes, she was like, this is too boring, and she left.
I can't wait for you to roll a one then.
Amazing.
Like a wild magic sorcerer is the only time you want to roll a one.
Yeah.
That's true. Okay.
Or halfling.
All right, so you and Josh and the rest of the apostles are celebrating crossover. You are all good friends, and you are drinking and laughing and generally having a good time. From across the room, the halfling bard for the Grey Goose, named Crag, is playing his lute and has been performing a selection of songs that he likes to call lo-fi beats to study and eat your last meal to. Standing in the middle of the room is a turtle named Leo, who is trying to paint all of you. He's attempting in vain to get you all to hold still, which is why you're all on the same side of the table. Though this positioning is convenient for the painting itself, the tavern owner is much less amused and has been complaining about empty seats. Apparently, just last night, there was another group in here doing the exact same thing. And he's getting real tired from all these messiahs and their dramatic meetings. Oily Jaw stands up and claps and gets a waiter's attention and asks for some bread and wine to use as props for this painting and for, you know, a speech he feels like he'd like to give. But unfortunately, due to the nature of everyone celebrating, the best that the waiter is able to acquire is one large baguette in some pink lemonade.
Sounds pretty okay.
This is unacceptable.
Josh gets up and waves his baguette about and kind of hits people with it and starts attempting to use the baguette and the pink lemonade as metaphors, but none of the metaphors he used land correctly. So he gives up. He then turns to Craig the lute player and asks him to switch to a much more dramatic tune so that he can tell you all why he's brought you there today. You guys are gonna rob the Remoran Empire, and he has the perfect plan to do it.
I'm so in already.
Spirit has been trying to eat part of the baguette as it's being waved around, just with her little beak, like jumping and trying to nibble a little bit of it.
Once he sets it down, you can definitely pick it up and
perfect.
Eat the whole
she
job,
is absolutely but doing that. Not really listening to this mission, so.
But Lord, what purpose do you have with earthly treasure? You bring the treasure of heaven.
Oily Josh knows this, but also the Remoran Empire has been, you know, taking over and building statues, and he just wants to sort of like stick them in the kidney a bit, you know, metaphorically.
They do have a lot of wealth in their temples with their statues.
But it goes against the faith to do these kinds of things, such as steal, even though, you know, as you said yourself, return to Caesar. What is Caesar's?
Dare I betray my empire for my faith?
Can we keep part of the treasure?
Oh, yeah. He doesn't. Josh has no use for any of this treasure. He just, you know, his father told him this plan, and he thinks it would be, you know, something different, something new. Something for them to write stories about.
Stories?
Yeah.
I see. So basically we're giving them a physical parable for them to ponder on how much they miss their loss while we benefit for the purity of our faith.
Exactly.
I wouldn't talk about physical things in front of Skiatos.
He's going to climb up real high.
He might get triggered.
Stilts on the table.
So, quick question. Are they still painting us?
Yes.
Yes, and they're getting my chin all wrong.
I would like to have my beard retreat back into my face and then like change my face around to look more like Bonanna.
The turtle frowns and starts slapping more oil onto the canvas. So Josh tells you his plan. He tells you that the Remoran Public Treasury is located on the edges of Shalem, and it contains a vault holding unimaginable wealth, which the Remorans use to fund their armies in the area. There is only one entrance to the treasury, and it has the highest security in all of the known realms. Trying to enter through this way means almost certain death, which is exactly why you're not going to go that way at all.
Oh, praise the Lord.
I mean,
it would be a good challenge, but...
The treasury itself is built into a hill on the side opposite to where the tombs of those who are buried by the state are located. Since some of these tombs contain Remoran citizens, the tombs themselves are also heavily guarded, but only from the outside. So, Josh's plan is to set himself and several of the apostles, you guys in particular, up for like a fake execution. Time to fake your own deaths.
Oh!
He doesn't really have to fake his own death because he has magic powers because he's the son of God. But for you guys...
Wait, what?
You're gonna fake your death.
How are you gonna fake your own death?
No!
Do you have some sort of magical power for that?
I have a potion in order for you to fake your own deaths. It's gonna be fine. I promise.
Okay.
Oh, very yes. Suspicious.
But what?
No, don't worry. I've seen this potion used before. It was the same potion that my mother used to escape my father and run off with a vagabond.
Is that what your father told you?
Yes, well, I mean, it didn't work because she woke up and found that he'd killed himself, so she killed herself.
Oh!
It's a long story.
I don't know how to...
But I'm sure it'll work out fine
okay,
this time.
Okay, Bonanna. You know.
The potion itself is very safe.
I think that was poison that she took.
No. The potion was harmless, but she woke up. He thought that she'd killed herself, so he killed himself. So then she killed herself. Because he killed himself.
Oh, what a tragic love story for
so
the ages.
Tragic.
How long did they know each other for?
A few days. Again, it's a long story. I didn't want to get into it.
What?
But anyway.
Look, we are true disciples of Joshua, and if we have faith in the monad, and there's a giant treasure at the end of it, I believe this is going to work. I'm here for it.
All things are possible with Joshua.
Exactly.
Even going under the ground in a box.
Well, the way I see it, serving my faith plus getting treasure outweighs serving my empire. So I'm in.
But if you think about it, Skiatos, you're going under the ground, which means you're not on the devil's ground. You are going beneath it to undermine it.
The devil can quote scripture to his own purposes. That does not make the ground any less unholy.
But you're going to go underground to do a holy thing for Joshua.
Yes! I'm sure Joshua, the legend, when he went down and fought the devil on his own turf in hell, you could do something like that.
And aren't we entering a cemetery? So wouldn't some of the faithful be there? Surely there is some hallowed, sanctified ground there where we could put your tomb.
What will you do, Joshua, while we die?
That's a very good question.
I'm
actually
also going to die. I can pretend to die. It's going to be fabulous.
Are you going to drink the potion as well?
I don't need any of that. I've got powers. I've got magic powers.
Son of God. There are some bonuses.
It's going to be fine.
Okay, I have a question for game mechanics.
Yeah.
Can I roll insight for this one?
You're going to roll insight on Joshua? Yeah.
True.
On the leader of your faith?
Can I assist with that, with the insight roll?
I mean, I have a passive of 16. That's the why I'm asking.
Robert Tacko.
Sorry.
Oily lord.
He's going to get such an advantage against you.
Meanwhile, I want to be like, magic. I have magic. And then, I don't know, cast like something like control flames or something. Just to show that I have magic too.
Does your magic help you feign death?
Have not tried it yet.
Anything is possible with Joshua.
What's that insight roll look like?
Oh, you actually wanted me to roll it?
Yeah.
I rolled a 5, so you're getting no assistance from me.
21.
21. All right. Well, I mean, you're not entirely sure how, without the magic potion, Josh is going to die and come back, but you've seen him do a lot of weird things. He's turned water into wine. He's walked on water. He's healed curses and afflictions.
Miracles.
Oh, you know, I'm sorry to have ever doubted you, my prophet.
Did you forget the entire reason that we're here in the first place? Good God, man.
I have moments of forgetfulness. As you look to yourself, Banana, you look to me and you see yourself reflected.
I will cut off your ear if you dare to insult me like this again.
I will change my eye color and and grow out a very nice long beard. And then basically more like Charlemagne now.
Well, you can be a Frenchman.
The turtle angrily sighs and starts layering more onto the painting.
Oh, boy.
If you ask this of us, Joshua, we shall comply, for you are the son of Monad. But I shall not like it.
He claps you on the back and says, I'm glad that you're going to follow along.
Well, I shall like it very much, because it'll also be an opportunity to visit Mother's tomb again.
Who knows, you may be buried next to her.
Probably, the family plot.
Josh happily claps again, because he's excited, and he informs you that he already knows how you're going to get arrested, that one of your group has betrayed him. And everything's already going according to plan.
It was the changeling, wasn't it?
No, one of your apostle friends, Judah, stands up and goes, Yeah, I definitely informed the authorities that several Mescreants were committing blasphemy and treason. Sorry about that.
Oh, so it was you.
Douche.
And right on this cue, several soldiers kick down the door.
Oh no.
Look a lot like Roman soldiers, except they're blue colored rather than red. And they're wearing metallic masks as part of their helmets, modeled after honored ancestors. And they come in and they arrest all of you. And Josh.
I try to do a little like hail Susan or whatever it is in this world. and just get immediately cut off as I get arrested.
I put three fingers and start, you know, blessing myself like, oh no. And as I get arrested, my hands, you know, put behind me.
Can I do a little like performance of like wailing like, why, Judah? Why?
And the rest of the apostles haven't been arrested. Just you guys.
Lovely.
Well, that's so oddly specific. Thanks, Judah.
I love that we consented to this plan.
Yes, with full knowledge of everything. As she gets arrested.
Can I... At this point, I'm going to make my voice boom and say... Thank you, Judah! And as my voice booms, I make the ground tremor as I cast thaumaturgy.
Don't give them more reasons to think you're a heretic. We're already arrested. They might just cut your head off right away.
Spirit will repeat that as she's squirming, trying to go away. He's going, thank you, Judah! In the same exact cadence of voice.
In the same exact voice. Judah's just standing back there with, like, a thumbs up that's halfway up, and he's looking a little confused.
He's like, what can I say except you're welcome?
Get out, Judah.
We don't talk about Judah. Sorry.
Skiatos is extremely serene about this whole getting arrested thing until the moment one of the centurions drags him away on the ground, and then he starts screaming and flailing.
No!
Eventually, several more soldiers come up and pick up his feet since he's becoming problematic. All right, we're doing a time jump.
Time jump music.
So, you have been imprisoned for several days now, and it's time for your trial. You are being led to the edge of a fenced-in courtyard, just in front of a massive building made of fine marble and sporting an excessive number of pillars. There's a crowd outside the gates cheering with ambiguous loyalties. Many are dressed in sports jerseys and probably got lost on their way to the local root ball match. Either way, the energy is palpable.
Are they shouting Nika?
I don't know anything about root ball, so they're shouting whatever you want.
Nika, Nika.
As you enter the building, you see, on a balcony overlooking the room, standing Pontius Pilate, the Remoran governor, along with several advisors and some additional Remoran soldiers. Another balcony to his left holds various local officials who only seem to be present for administrative reasons. To his right are the high priests of the Demiurge, wearing emblems of the snake with a lion's head, flanked by their elite Arakokra bodyguards.
Yeah.
Bird people.
I love how we're doing backflips to like change all the names, and then it's just Pontius Pilate is here.
Why is he the only one who's not an off-brand fantasy Pontius Pilates or something like that?
You're right.
He's got his mat. He's wearing all the gear. He's in his activewear.
He goes to the Lululemon.
You can wear activewear to the office now. It's fine.
You can do a lot of things at the office after COVID. So, the Demiurge's leader is an older woman in fine robes who stands at the edge of the balcony with an unamused expression. There's a podium that stands in the middle of the room with an elven lawyer waiting to help with your defense.
Oh, dear.
Sorry, can you remind me what a Demiurge is?
What is a Demiurge? Yeah.
It's a snake with a lion head.
Okay.
A deity of some sort.
Oh, right. Okay.
From Warhammer.
Cool.
The locals primarily worship the demiurge, being primarily depicted as a snake with the head of a lion.
That's why they're wearing those.
Right. Got it. Which I know, because I'm Remoran.
So am I.
That's why you said Hail Susan. That's what you call the demiurge.
Hail Susan. Julius Susan.
Julius Susan.
This is going to be an amazing podcast.
This is
going
to be chaos already. It's fine. So Josh is the first one to go up to the podium, which is unfortunate for the elven lawyer because Josh is not looking for a defense. Instead, he proceeds to cuss out everyone present, saying that he is the son of God, and he is better than all of them. Do you know who his father is? And they don't know anything at all. They're stupid. The lawyer is taken aback by this, and grows increasingly stressed standing by his side. But Josh is immediately convicted. Pontius Pilate looks tired up on his balcony.
Pontius Pilates.
Yeah, fine. He's Pontius Pilates looks very tired on his balcony. He rubs his forehead and sighs in a sigh so loud you can hear it throughout the room. But Jesus, no, his name is Josh. Josh. Josh is condemned.
I think we should clap, though, for Josh's speech because we should be moved by his fervor and his passion for the one true God.
Are we handcuffed, though?
Spirit, I would be moved if I wasn't in chains.
Clapping noises with her voice, because that's
we
the
can
thing
cheer.
She can do, so she'll clap with her mouth.
Yay!
I just say huzzah!
Many huzzahs for Joshua.
Oh, bless Joshua.
So, you guys are going to go up one by one and try to get convicted. Now, the three people you are trying to convince are the high priest, who do not, in fact, represent the locals of Judreo, but were supplanted by the Castellucian Inquisition in order to gain influence in this region.
Oh, dear.
Oh, they came out of nowhere.
No one expected them.
As such, they represent a much more extreme position in which to exert their religious control over all affairs.
Okay.
You want to convince the crowd who are here for football. Rootball. They are confused, but they got the spirit. They're eager to see something exciting happen. And you're trying to convince Pontius Pilates. Who doesn't really understand what the big deal is or what crimes you've committed. So he might be a little hard to convince. So, let's start with Dominique Chrysostom.
Oh, okay. Get to use that speechcraft now. Okay. So, I assume I'm getting pulled up to the center to beneath these three people? Or everyone?
Groups of people, yeah.
Okay, can I roll a history check to see who the local root ball team is?
Sure.
Alrighty, history, here we go. I am not an intelligent man. Or person. 16!
Make one up. Who's the local root ball team?
The Greens!
I was going to say, I think the Samaritans are going to win this year.
I go and say, can I use thaumaturgy to boom my voice so everyone hears me?
Sure.
Yep, I use thaumaturgy to boom my voice, so make it three times as loud, and I go, as a blues fan, I believe that I should be condemned for my sins and everything that I've done against the Remoran Empire and the Church. I have followed Oily Josh as a person and who has followed every step that he has taken, and I believe that I must be condemned for everything that I have done heretical to the Empire.
So, the high priests are mad that you are one of Oily Josh's kin. And the sports fans want your blood. They are screaming for it. Pontius Pilate sighs heavily again and sentences you to death.
success.
Great.
It is Bonanna's turn.
All right. My name is Publius Hortensius Bonanna III. I didn't mention that before, but I am a third. And I accuse Pontius Pilates of neglecting his duties in favor of long hours of pointless stretches. And I think my father was a better governor than you, and he was pretty bad, so you must be much worse. So, anyway, you suck. I hate your stupid little face with its stupid little nose, and your elfin minions suck too, with their pointy ears and their, you know, being different from us. And crowd, none of you are acting individually. You're all just a big blob of people who don't matter to the plot at all. So you suck as well. You all suck. Anyway.
Well, you've pissed off Pontius Pilates and the
yes!
crowd. And you have been sentenced to death.
Huzzah!
The crowd boos at you. Boo.
I'd rather be dead than have to put up with any of you anymore. Take that.
Someone throws a banana at you.
Yum, I love
a
banana
peels. Banana in ancient Rome. In ancient Judea.
I catch the banana and I eat it skin and all.
Oh.
Well, that's enough to get you condemned
to
death. Defended
you
right
to double
there.
Death.
And then I spit it back at the crowd.
Oh, well, now you're double condemned. Anyway. It is Skatos. You are carried in by... You have a cute little litter because they're tired of you screaming.
Do your worst, court. I reject all authority that you have. You are but worms of the devil's dirt. Yes, you too, Pilates. All you do is walk around touching the dirt and the ground. Nothing more than worms, and you and your sports ball over there. Come on. Everyone knows the only sport that matters is air polo. Do your worst. You can not touch me, for I am one with Joshua and the monad, and none of your earthly powers have any effect on me.
So the crowd is booing. They hate air polo. And the high priests don't like what you're saying. Pontius Pilates is a little confused, but he'll go with it. And you're sentenced to death. All right. Now, spirit. Pontius Pilates has been a little... The way the crowd is going, he feels like he has to keep sentencing people to death. And you are adorable. You are soft and feathery and adorable. So, he brings you up along with a literal murderer named Abba McKillen, who's an enormous man with a massive beard who just keeps grumbling next to you about how much he loves killing. He's like, I love killing. Murdering those people, chopping them up, yeah. And Pontius Pilates turns to the crowd, and he says, you can set one of these two prisoners free. Would you like to set free McKillen, or would you like to set free Joshua's compatriot spirit? And the crowd yells for you to go to your death. They would love McKillen to be freed.
Wow. This crowd is ready.
Pontius Pilates sighs heavily and sort of balls his hands into fists and sentences you to death.
I want to say that it probably didn't help that spirit. The second she got into the stand, started making, like, bubucella noises until she got out of the stand. She was like, annoying noises. It doesn't make anybody sentence that person.
Pick McKillen to leave and go kill another day. Yeah.
He can join the root ball team, you know?
He came out with one of those, like, annoying horns that they have at soccer games.
The last person to come up is Calixta.
Oh, okay. So, I have a three-part strategy here. So first off, Calixta's gonna get up there and say, I am a true follower of the Monad and Joshua. The Demiurge is just a figment of your imagination. It is just a furry worm. Aren't you embarrassed that you worship a furry worm? That is her insult for the High Priest. Then, to try and annoy Pontius Pilates, she's gonna try and pick her handcuffs, because then she'd be flouting his legal system.
Mm.
So I want to roll a sleight of hand.
Do it.
Oh, I really hope this works out. A 14?
You did it.
Great. Okay, and then so, to get the crowd off my side, I'm going to run up and try to punch somebody.
All right, roll like an attack for me.
Okay. Just one of my attacks?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll roll that one. Oh, critical fail!
You tried to punch somebody in the crowd, and they dodge out of the way, and instead you're swept through into this mosh pit and dumped out the other side and sentenced to death.
Perfect.
All right. That went well.
Did it, though!
It sure did. Now it's time for some time skips.
Time skip music times two.
I don't think we can use Doctor Who. I think someone will get mad at us.
Yeah.
Doctor Witch?
The BBC. Darn.
Copyright. Darn.
No. Someone here has already sung Disney twice, so the BBC might not be the greatest of our worries here.
Oh, we can do covers. We can do covers.
Yeah.
Let's get a Vuvuzela cover of the Doctor Who song. Then we'll be set.
That is what Spirit was making specifically. Right. So, like, cover of Doctor Who's theme.
So, you've been in prison for some time, awaiting your crucifixion. And we cut to you guys riding over to the very edge of the city in a prison carriage. The carriage is following a contingent of soldiers on horseback. And behind you are the remaining apostles, always strong and showing their support. They're following along behind you on donkeys. The carriage stops in front of some crosses on a hill that have already been set up, which I don't understand. You have to take them down again and then put them in another module.
Shut up, module.
A few yards away is the hill containing the tombs, which is guarded by another contingent of Remoran soldiers. But you can see your end goal. You're almost there.
Oh, look, it's Marcus. Hi, Marcus.
I would like to take this chance to, like, sneakily change myself to look like, you know, the Procurator.
Pontius Pilates?
Yep.
How could you forget his name?
You named him.
It's a bit of a stretch.
Oh, dear.
Oh, okay, I see why they didn't set them up, because they're being stupid. All right, anyway, they're being silly. The soldiers place wooden buckets in front of the crosses and awkwardly tell you guys to climb up to be crucified.
Well, this is highly undignified.
Is Joshua with us at
Joshua
this point?
Is with you.
Okay. Has he given us all
a thumbs up?
A potion that we need?
He's just given you a thumbs up.
Oh, no.
I would like to climb with all of my strength.
I immediately go, you would crucify me, the Procurator?
They know you're not the Procurator. You're not Pontius Pilates. You were in the prison carriage. They know better.
Me? Darn.
So, shouldn't they, like, wait until tomorrow to crucify us? I mean, we need a little bit more time to prepare ourselves.
Nope, climb right? up. Climb on up. Come on.
But I'm Pontius Pilates.
I need all of you to make a constitution saving
throw. Oh, boy.
Oh boy. Okay.
Oh dear.
As you are nailed to the cross.
Oh! Okay. I can do this. I can do this.
Let's see.
What is 15.
It? 19.
I got a 4.
You did.
I got a 15.
All right.
I got a natural 20.
Oh.
Fantastic.
First roll of the night.
It doesn't hurt you one bit. So, all of you who rolled above a 12, you are fine. It doesn't hurt that bad.
I keep demanding they put more nails in me because I'm feeling a bit unstable.
They complain.
At least you guys have the decency to kill us up in the air, as all good people should die.
Calixta needs to take 4 piercing damage.
Not 4.
Josh is nailed up behind you and doesn't appear to be in any pain at all, really. But he does make an offhanded comment that he's worried about getting splinters.
Show up.
I look over at Josh and I'm like, oh, always look at the bright side of life. At least it's just splinters.
Yeah, maybe a sunburn too.
I was about to make a life of fried joke. Where Roberto and I have the same wavelength, I think.
You notice in the outside, in the daylight, that Josh is a little pale for, you know, people of the Remoran Empire. And you worry maybe that he might get a sunburn as well.
I'm not worried.
Yeah, that's what I'm worried about right now, as I'm hurting.
I'm not worried.
Hung up on this cross.
He brought us here.
Fear not, Lord, and as you always said, it is the heavens to which we go. Lift your gaze, my lord.
Soon we will be one with the Lord, Modab.
I don't know what everyone's complaining about. This is child's play compared to Centurion boot camp.
Most of the soldiers, once they've crucified you... This is such... What a terrible sentence. wander off and leave you to it.
Okay.
One Remoran soldier stays behind. She lifts her mask and goes, "It's me, Morgan."
Oh, Morgan. Hello, Morgan.
And she's really excited and is having a great time being a covert spy. Isn't really paying attention to the immense pain.
You suck.
She's just really excited.
Sorry I called you Marcus earlier. I thought you were someone else.
Eventually, she goes, "Oh, I'm sorry, and gives you the potion, the Fool's Nightshade, through a straw. And Josh...
Through a straw? She's not even going to let us down?
No. And Josh insisted once again that he doesn't need it. And eventually, in a matter of seconds, I guess you pass out and you're unconscious.
Thank God for that.
Oh, God. Time skip.
Pontifex is edited by Greg Gassman. Greg is the host of the fabulous papal history podcast, Popular History, where you can also find cardinal numbers, ranking the cardinals of the Catholic Church, and coming up soon, Habemus Pointsum, where Greg and I will discuss all of the papal transitions that he loves so much. If you need to reach Greg, you can do so at popularhistory@gmail.com. Get it? It's like popular, but with an E for the popes.
If you would like to get in touch with us, you can reach us at pontifexpod@gmail.com, and we're pontifexpod on all social media platforms. If you'd like to support the show, consider subscribing to Pontifex on Patreon, checking out our research wishlist at tinyurl.com/pontifexwishlist, or making a one-time donation at paypal.me/pontifexpodcast. If you'd like to support us in other ways, rating and reviewing the show on iTunes makes a world of difference.